So you have a job. Because as your heart goes, and your spirit and receptivity and willingness, so the anointing heal. We all work together. You mean something. You mean something, one way or another. Now, back into my vision again for Community Chapel Part 2. The details of how to implement the vision that God has given me has been growing clearer, and much clearer lately. As I've yielded my heart to Him and in the Spirit have been worshiping and praying, waiting before God, and as others have been praying with me and for me, He's been dealing with me concerning my part of the vision. Now, this we are all to do. That is, you need to be waiting on Him to know your part of the vision. If you are to know your part of the vision, I mean your detail part, what you to do next, your next step, you need to be waiting on Him. I wonder, do you really feel a part of the vision? Do you believe in the vision of Community Chapel? And if you do believe in it and feel a part of it, I wonder if you are really doing your part and seriously waiting on God and saying, Lord, show me where I enter in. Where do I come in here? What is my next step? What do you presently want me to do? What is my next ministry? What is my relationship position before you now? And what do I move in next to be Christ more Christ-like? How do I move in next to integrate with my brother? Honestly, if you're not doing that, if you're just trotting in here to church and sitting down and going to sing and see if you can feel good and go out, you are missing the vision. You got none. And without a vision, the people perish. You have a distinct responsibility in these last days when God has called us to a specific task to know your function, to be concerned about your function, and to pray about it and wait on God until you know it and you're doing it. Now, you can't enter into your last day function, but you can enter into your immediate function. There's always some place that you have in God. And many of you would have entered into relationships and ministries and positions with God and various things long before now if you had just been opening up, praying about it, waiting. You're behind schedule. I must talk plainly. There's no reason for me to be at this pulpit unless there's a vision. Really. I do not understand how clergymen can come, take pulpits, no vision. I didn't believe God's word. Just come up and just get in. And I look at some of these ministries, some of these denominations. I went, how in the world could anybody ever want to enter the ministry under conditions like those? I mean, unless we are building for that to bring them out and up together, unless we've got something we're doing honestly and really, there's no reason to even be here. I'm deadly serious about this thing. A vision is something to implement. God has called. God has spoken. God says, I have something for you, and I want you to move in it. And I don't intend for this place to go under because some people won't move. Brother, we're going to begin having to... We're going to call for the man clothed in white linen with an inkhorn and so forth to come into our congregation and to put a mark upon the heads of those that will or those that won't, a different mark or something if necessary. But we're going to go on. And I'm not just talking rhetoric. We don't just go on because we say we're going on. We go on if we hear the call. And the Lord says, who shall I send? You say, Lord, send me. Now, I must learn to give myself over to Jesus and this whole work over to Jesus in a more complete way. I must do that. And I am working rather hard in doing that. And I'm hoping, trusting that after this next retreat, which we're about to enter into very soon, that through that extensive time of prayer together, that God will move us into a further vision, revelation, and depth and height in Him, that when we come back, we are going to be energized from heaven to move and able to move deeper and further into that. But listen, it doesn't do us any good to be there if you're not moving with us and won't move with us. I trust a lot of you will take opportunity for that. We've got next week and then the following week's the retreat. Take 9 o'clock in the morning to noon, the chapel will be open. I hope a lot of you say, they'll have no retreat up there. Come on, brothers and sisters, we're going to have ours right down here and wait upon God and pray for one another until the glory comes down, until we are moving in God in places, and they come back, they'll find us glowing. Right with them, connected. I must have God's heart. I have got to have His heart. You say, don't you have His heart? Well, I do much of the time. I need His heart all the time. I need His mind. I must have His mind. I hope you're praying for me in these areas. I must have His love. God is doing a work. I'm changing. I really am. But oh, I must have it all the way. I must open up. I must learn. How to do all these things, I know not. But one thing I do, I press on. You know how you do this, you may know not, but one thing I want you to do is to press on. I must have His disposition. I must be like Him. One of the things in the vision is that I must come to a place where I know how to yield and am allowing Him to speak, to feed me, my mind, to give His heart out, to love, to let His love flow, to let His concern flow, to let His mind come to you. Because you don't need mine, you need His. We need not that any man teach us, but oh, how we need the Holy Ghost to teach us, and He does use men to teach through. I want to give you what my Father giveth me to speak, and not some philosophy of my own mind. I want to give you what you need in the hour of need. I want to be an extension of Jesus. We are to be extensions of Him. His mantle has fallen upon us, and He doesn't want us to twist the thing and warp it into something else different than what He brought. It must be a real sorrow in God's heart. To start off a pattern ministry, be caught up on high, give His power, word, and pattern to men, and then look down a few centuries later and see Him running around in black clerical robes and taking people's money. As soon as your money clinks in the box, your soul will be loose out of purgatory. That isn't what I taught you. Seeing people teaching legalism and blessing packs and this and that, and we'll get more and more and all of this. That isn't what I taught you. I taught, except a man deny himself and take up his cross. He's not willing to be my disciple. I taught you through much tribulation you shall enter the kingdom of God. I taught you I send you out as sheep among wolves. Be harmless as doves, wise as serpents. I didn't teach you this other stuff. We must be extensions of Him, or His Spirit has to move to someone else. I feel an urgency in my heart. I must move into writing. I feel that I must write. I feel I must write newspapers that we can mail all over blanket, get this truth out everywhere. I don't mean just a lot of basic Bible studies, but I mean practical truths, not understood truths, misunderstood truths, problem areas where people need to be turned around in their thinking in this particular hour on certain key issues and things that will move people. I want to get in and spend time. I feel I need to get time doing that, writing it out. We need to get this message. And things about what God is doing here and so forth. And that'll, you know, when they get that message, it'll go a long ways to offsetting what the devil's doing out there. He's furnishing lies throughout the country. I constantly hear that of him. That these people, some of these people are so dedicated to killing this wolf. They cannot rest. The devil is goading them. Every person they go to, they sit down, whether it be friend or foe, or saved or unsaved, even telling unsaved people, who don't even kill. I mean, that thing is so in some of them, everywhere they go, no matter what, they are telling, they are poisoning, they are doing this. But you see, you begin to get a message out to people. They begin to read that God is in you. They begin to see you've got love. You've got sense that God is doing things, that you're reaching out, that God is with you, that the joy of the Lord is in that place. And that'll go a long ways to offsetting those lies. They'll come up to find out. But when they get here, they've got to have a people who can drink of the Spirit. A people who are moving in God. I'm reminded of the story of this woman with an unsaved husband. He wouldn't come to church. But one day the church caught on fire. Everybody was down trying to put the fire out. That was in the old days, bucket brigades and all, you know. And he came running down the street. And he began to help because it was his wife's church. One of the deacons looked at him with a little bit of a twist to his mouth and said, "Oh, Henry's never first time I ever saw you come to church, or running to church, or something like this." And he said, "It's the first time I ever saw the church on fire." And you know, we've got to be on fire. It'll attract people. It'll attract people. They'll come. And the fire of the Lord is there. Now, if I move in this area and God is moving on my life, what's it for if you're not in a position to take it and let it change you? If you won't hear it, if you won't enter in with it, what good does it do me to receive it and talk through this thing here and all you come all dressed up to this place if you're not going to do a thing with what we give you? It's like preparing a banquet for 4,000 and nobody will eat. If I must move into writing, I have got to move out of something. And when I move out of something, somebody has to step into something. And if a lot of us begin to move out of something, to step into something, we need a lot more people to move into something, which means that other people have to move into what they stepped out of. In other words, there is a need that it will be growing, and we're going to need you to be ready and in position. And you see, you just can't come with knowledge and wisdom without the love of God. You just can't come with head knowledge to teach stuff, but can't move the people. You have got to have God's mind. You've got to be plugged in. You've got to know where you are. You've got to have something that they can see that you have been affected. That you're in a place where you're speaking as for God. You're anointed. God's moving through you onto them. You've got to be in that position. You're going to be called upon. You're going to be needed. I feel I must move into more teaching. I've got to dig out more truths, revelations. I've got to put more foundation under this place. As I used to be so much in teaching here. But that means, and I'm telling you about what I need to do for my part of the vision. I need to move out of some administration. Now, I need to keep locked in a key position in administration so we can keep everything going together. And so as God feeds me, I can keep it going. I can't move out of it entirely. But I've got to get out of the petty administration and the lower areas of administration. And that means that there has got to be people able to move in that have the mind of God, who don't just come in with business heads, but with God's head. Sober men of sober judgment, with integrity, who know God's mind and heart, who's tied in with a pastor and this move, so that when I step out, they can step in and do what I would have done. If I am led of God, and if I am got God's will, and not come in and do what Joe Doakes is going to do. And all the way down the line, there will be movement in this area. It's a desperate need, and I don't know how to do it yet. I really don't know. God's been dealing with my heart, and I don't know how to do it. And I'm about at that place where I was a number of years ago, when I was trying to, I had to decrease a bit in all the work I was doing to survive, and did not know how to do it. Till one day, God spoke to me in my revelation tank. And he spoke to me clearly, and it made such a difference. It made such a difference. I honestly was baffled as to what to do until God told me clearly But it was quite a while before he finally told me. I don't know why he waits so long. But I need God's mind on this. I don't know how to do it. And what I've been thinking about doing immediately is setting up a chart. Well, I would have every piece of paper that comes by me, I would say, now, would I be willing to give this to somebody else to do? Yes or no? And see how much, what are you willing to turn this paper over? I have to come to a place I'm willing to turn it over to somebody. And it doesn't matter. I have people say, oh, just trust people, just turn it over and they make a few mistakes. Oh, listen. It isn't. You can lose a war that way. Some things you can suffer. They won't always do everything like you. Every administrator knows that. Every teacher gives up a class. You know, everybody was sitting, fear and trembling whether the next person's going to move into it. There is a certain amount of that, but you can't afford to make fatal mistakes. You can't afford to have the whole thing change. You've got to be able to make right decisions down the line. Now, what I'm saying, I'm talking to the elders and you, leaders out here. We have this means of responsibility for our elders and others in leadership. Our eldership, elders, hearken to me. You have a need beyond what you can see perhaps at this present hour to move into the presence of God and the power of God and the knowledge of God so I can load more onto you in various areas and trust that you'll be there in the Spirit. You know what to do. You're plugged in. You've got more than keen minds, but a heart that's, but a line that's plugged into the knowledge of God in these particular areas. That God will span the gap in our experience and so forth, and you can move into these areas. That means they have to move out of some things, and other leaders have to move in, and others have to move in. There needs to be a shifting up. We have got to increase our strength in this place. You have a responsibility to be trained in the hour we need you to move up. And even in this present hour, we're making some moves. We're shifting people from here to here so we can shift them to there because we don't have anybody we can move directly to there. We have a desperate need for what we call A-plus people. We have a desperate need for that. And we get a lot of people down here. You B-plus people, you need to move up into A-plus. You need to study hard. You need to research the things of the Spirit, the mind of God. You need to get yourself down and give yourself a good old your college test. And see how good you do at love for souls, working at the altar, zeal for God, Holy Ghost fire, integrity, being able to take care of your family and your wife, submission to your husbands, wives. All these things that will count when you're placed out in the field. Love for people, ability to be a self-starter, caring for souls, ability to handle situations that would come against you, being with us solidly so you won't split off, all the various things. You need to give yourself good tests. I mean, we're in training, my friend. And it can all be learned by taking a class. You're in the school of God. You have got to learn things for yourself. I studied for years. The most of what I learned was not in Bible college. It was personal things between me and God and personal study for reasons. You can't just study for a grade. You got to study to know and to have and become. Now, this means that you have a responsibility to rise to positions to be extensions of teaching and leadership. Well, I'm a teacher's helper. I moved to teacher. Oh, my friend, a lot more, a lot deeper. Broaden yourself. Look for the future. Expect the latter rain. Expect God to raise you up. If you stay down there, who will fill the shoes uphill? And we need to send hundreds out, and where are the hundreds going to be? As hundreds more come in, we can't send them immediately out. We need you trained. We need you in power with God. We need you through with all the carnality and the sins of the flesh and all the weaknesses and all the other things. You've got to move up. You've got to move on. We can't just talk to you this way forever. Your amens have got to have legs underneath them. You got to run with the messages. Yeah. Write the vision large, the scripture says, that they that read, run may read it. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do. It means you have a responsibility to be spiritual helpers. Every one of you should learn fast, get a hold of truths, and look around for those to help. We're climbing the mountain. Yeah. And when you look back and see somebody, some little tot, and have a struggling, you need to reach back and get a hold of them and pull them up. Yes. Are you pulling people up? Yes. Do you have in somebody's hand, is your hand upon somebody's back coat pulling them? Why not if not? Why are you climbing the mountain by yourself when other people are needing help? Are you a good climber? Then who are you helping up the mountain? This isn't a Marine Corps drill. We're pulling up families. Little ones, babes, all kinds of people, encumbered people, crippled people. We need everybody to help everybody get up the mountain. The storm is rushing down the valley. Are you serious? Are you in training? You're taking available of every knowledge? And I don't mean just head knowledge, but spiritual knowledge. Are you opening your heart? Are you moving in God? Are you looking for souls to work on? Are you witnessing, letting your light shine? Are you getting them in and teaching them and showing them? See, I'm not a teacher. Teach what you know. Get those new converts. Lambs. Every sheep must bear a lamb. You should be. If you're not sick, you should be bearing lamb if you're healthy. If you're healthy, if there's any love in you, you should be bearing lambs. And then it's your job to milk them out. You don't say, I just born this lamb. Can I have 5 volunteers to milk these ones out? No, you born them, you milk them out. You win them and you sit down with them and you teach them. If you don't know very much, you better get knowing much. You got a book and 11 million tapes. Get busy. Know. Learn human behavior. Learn what you need to know. Get in and work with them. Pray with them. Nothing like getting a field commission. Nothing like learning out in the field. You know what happened in World War II? We're going to have thousands of officers, thousands of people directing all kinds of things. They never directed those things. He was manager of a candy store. He was a furniture store. He worked in a freight yard. He did this. They had not had those war experiences. All of a sudden, you are an officer. Go and show them how. I don't think there wasn't a little bit of fear and trepidation. But out on the field, you learn fast. You learn. Airplanes come on over. They're dropping bombs. You fall flat on the ground. And you knock yourself out because you're laying your head on the ground. When the bomb hits, the ground comes up and whams you in the head and you knock yourself out. But when you wake up and you find out, here comes another wave in. Keep your head off the ground. It's going to come up and meet you. You learn things. And then when a new green man comes in, you got to say, look now, when the bombing raids come, keep your head off the ground. See? You learn a few things. Keep your helmet close by and rifle, you may have to move out fast. I mean, you learn things. Get out in the field. Learn. I came in this church, I did not know one drug from another. I never saw a hippie in all my life. I didn't know anything about those guys, what they did. I didn't know about the spaced out purple and blue and everything else. I still don't know much, but I tell you, we got in the thick of it and we got working with them. But you know what thing? This will work with anybody. But get in and get working with people. Care about the souls. It means you have a responsibility to be sanctified. Sanctified. Holy, set apart unto God. You know why? There's a lot of reasons, but one reason is that the elders and councils won't have to work with you forever. Get other jobs to do. Get sanctified so they can go on and use their time more wisely. Don't tie all of our officers up with sick bay. Let's use some of them out in the field for the advance. We don't want them all in the hospital crew. In Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, we read this. For when Paul said to the Hebrews, for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Paul said, you should be teachers by now. You Hebrews should be teachers. You've had enough of the law, enough of God's word, enough of revelation. You should be teachers. And what are you? Babies. Needing to learn about faith, love, all the basic things. Need to be have the milk bottle stuck in, give you some wubbing. Oh, he said this to me. We need to be rubbed, Pastor. I got a problem. I need a counselor because I'm hurt. Get a rub. It's all right, sweetie. You need to be out as strong men doing warfare with the devil. I need to multiply myself through the eldership. in the leadership. I got more to do than one man can do. But I've got to do it. That means I got to do it through them. That means that they have got to be wise in spiritual things. They got to be experienced in spiritual things. They have to have a freedom in the spirit. They have to have power in prayer. God has called this eldership to move up into a place that we're not yet. Eldership, get with it. How? These things aren't easy. But the biggest ingredient is a zeal and a faith. World War II was not easy to go out there and to do those momentous jobs out in the Pacific that those men had to do. But when they had a mind to do it, and they moved in to tackle it, they did the impossible, as it were. Did some fantastic things that would not be done, but their minds were to do it. They were thinking, see. We've got to move this mountain, get an airstrip in, we've got to do this to this, everybody's planning and so forth. Down the enemy, down the enemy, down the enemy. Fight, fight. Get, what are we doing next? How to protect ourselves? Now what do we, see, get everybody thinking and working together and getting some zeal and you can do something. Everyone has to lay on the backside and dock while somebody else works. We get nowhere. You can't win a war that way. If you don't have anything but zeal and to drive to get ahead, you got that, brother, something, you could go someplace. We have got to kill. We've got to have a vision. Now that means the eldership needs to be multiplied in the others, leaders under them. They need to multiply themselves. They can't carry this whole church. You need, each one of you need to become balanced. Balanced. So you can watch out for the elders. They can't just send every unbalanced person to an elder. You need to be balanced so that you can get this person to sit down with them and begin to help him, put him in balance. You need to be spiritual so you can discern things, see problems, know how to act in situations and move in spiritual and take care of it. If you see your brother overtaken the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. We need a lot of restorers. That means you've got to be spiritual because you can't restore if you're not spiritual. You need to be sanctified. You need to be mature. You need to be workers with God. You need to be unified and easily manageable so we can move with our troops. See, you need to be disciples indeed of Christ, sitting at his feet, learning of him so you can go out and do Christ, not your own thing. You need to be extensions in the work of God at this place. I'm calling upon you. And I don't mean your neighbor, I mean you. You. I'm talking to you. If you're sitting out here, if you're sitting in community chapel, unless you're just visiting, not knowing what this is, and after the night maybe never come back again, if you're sitting here and you've decided to make this your church home, brother, you're in the army now. Up at 7, exercises, move out. You've got a job to do. You're not going to lay back and let George do it. George is getting tired of doing it. You're going to have to move out, build up, prepare, and get ready because there's an invasion. We got to go out. We got to meet the invasion first, overcome it, and then do some invading of our own. And God giving us the strength, we will. You need to grow quickly from babes in Christ as you come in, to young men, to fathers. We need a whole group of fathers who know and who care and can love and father the flock. You can't leave it all up to me. God may call me somewhere else for a time. Besides, I can't do it all myself. This family's getting so big. You meet somebody and say, oh, praise the Lord. Well, nice to have you here today. Is this your first time? No, I've been here 4 years. You go, yep. You know. Well, at least part of it, at least, you see, the family is getting so big, we got to have everybody here. We need everybody. I can't do it all anymore. I don't know your names all anymore. There was a day I knew everybody's name. Not anymore. But part of the problem is yours. Hiding in the shadows. Hiding. Where have you been hiding? How could they possibly be here all this time and not see him? Now, you know, I realize that it's possible, but make yourself, you know, in other words, brother, if you're on fire, we're going to see you. If you're burning, we're going to see you. I mean, if you're down at the altar and you've got the glory and you're falling on the power and you're praying for people and you're bringing them in, so we're going to see you. This is right now we need more foundational orientation instructors, especially men, prior to Tom Clifton. Okay. I need more power with God. I need more power with God. I need you to pray for me. I need you to put yourself in a place where I can preach a different class of message. Do you understand? I need you to relieve my spirit a bit so I can move up to this area and begin to move into this class of and faith and expansion, ministry messages and other things and revelatory, and move out of wipe your nose now, darling, and then, you know, don't, you know, so forth. I need to move off of some of these, you know, these messages to the children. I need to have you grow up so I can talk. Say, now, son, when you go into the business today, instead of, come on, Tweetie Pie, to Dada, you know, I need to have you grow up so I can give you different messages. Kill you further. I need more power to carry this work, the work of the church, more power of God to carry this work. I can't carry it my own shoulders. I need God to buoy me, carry me by His Spirit. I need to have the buoyancy of the Spirit. I hope that out of this, elders, what I need to do, I need to be in a place, you know, it's, have you ever stopped and considered what you need for your life? You need to be? You need to do that. Now you'll find that it's not quickly easy just to go from here to where you should be. But we got to begin moving in the Spirit so we can get there. Now what I need to do, I need to wake up in the morning, get with a powerful prayer team, and I need to get in there, and we need to pray together for a short time, and come out all buoyed up. The Spirit is buoying me. I've got faith. My mind is clear up here in heavenly places. I need to have all this petty paperwork and all the things that are not so petty, all this paperwork that, you know, of that of somebody else. I need to have people that I can funnel their channel into various heads, and they'll take care of it aptly. They won't give me any worry that I won't have to deal with it. That other people are taking care of these problems, and they're all capable and able, so I can move out into more advanced areas. And I need to have a buoyancy. I need to be in a place where I have His love flowing and the faith of God so I can meet things without fear. Not, oh, are they going to be able to take it? Are they going to go under? Are they going to do this? So I have to be I'm all squeezed up. I need to be able to move things. Face, no, whether it's blasting opposition, unwilling people, or what, buoyed up with Jesus in here, who come up and say, and just give it out with a complete peace, no matter what the thing is, and just say, this is it. This is the will of God. The pray for Him, the power of God, the love of Jesus, and this is it. I can't live it. I can't do it for Him. Walk away with peace and not have a burden, not carry this burden because they won't move, and this burden because they won't do this, and this burden because they're going to break up if they don't, and this burden. I need to be able to carry, just to bring these things to them like this. I need to move in efficiency. I need to have God's mind call up to do this, move in this area. I need to be able to be efficient so I can go boom, boom, boom like this. And those things will be done. And my heart is in perfect peace. I need God to buoy me. I can't be trying to carry the load in myself. I need your prayers. I don't need to pray for the pastor. He's not going to take dope. See, I mean, there's other things to pray about. See, I need to be in this position. Now, we're never going to impress, and I mean this in the right way, impress the church world with Christ and His Word if most of us are immature, carnal, dead, dry, prayerless, do-nothings. We need to be out here. We need to open up these spaces we've got on television, and then we need to plug into these places And they see the glory of God sweep this place. They need to see people under spirit, the power of the living God. They need to look out and see everybody is lost in the spirit, glorifying the Lord. They need to see power, dynamic, unctionized, Holy Ghost anointed, on fire, edifying messages. People, the bench is full of people. People know exactly when to move first, second, third. And the witches are in order with what's happening instead of who got up to bat first. They need to be up here. They need to be pouring out their heart and soul. They need to be moving. They need to hear the amens and the glory of the Lord. And people weep, tears running down their faces. The joy of the Lord. They need to see people rush to the altar afterwards and reconvert and move into God and can be converted and filled with the Spirit. We need to have to be able to move the television cameras and see the results, see the healing, see people being healed. Ooh, I got healed out there. This thing when you just, when the Spirit is moving, need to see things happening. And brother, they are going to run, not walk. They're going to sell the job. They're going to head for this place. But we can't show people out there when they're like this and like this and people singing like this. You know, like a fish in a goldfish in a bowl. We can't do it when people are watching and you just turn it on and you know, the Spirit of the Lord, people are praising, look over there and people are sitting like this watching. We can't do that. We're not going to shame ourselves to death. Can't get up here beat red and preach. We're going to have the Holy Ghost. We're going to have big gaps like we had tonight. We're going to have these big gaps you can drive a truck through and never hit anybody. We're going to have a flow. We're going to have a joy. We're going to have something moving. Then we don't need talk shows. Makeup men. And then talk shows. Blah, blah, blah. We just need to turn it on and see what God's doing. That'll draw people. They want God. I'll tell you. We can't afford to pay thousands of dollars to turn on. Now, this is community chapel and this, and then teach. They're not ready for teaching. They don't want it. Wouldn't believe it if you gave it to them. And a lot of other things. But, brother, when they see the Holy Ghost and power, they see the Lord, then you can afford to do it because you're going to get immediate results. They'll cancel 12 other subscriptions, and they'll pour the money and time in here and rush in and give you money to build more and build more and build more. I mean, things will happen. Then all of a sudden we're going to say, now we told you so. I want 250 counselors to take care of the 5,000. We want people. And you know something else? You're going to have to be givers. We can't build a work without givers. Oh, he's down for me. I think it's awful legalistic. Sure seems to me to require him to get my money away from me. It's not yours anyway. It's God's. They don't gripe, 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 see? With that attitude, you know, with that unbelief in your heart, well, I'll go under if I obey God. See, we can't have that. It's got to be, we believe God. We're standing on the mountaintop. This is a do-or-die situation. We're not very long to the out-translation of the saints. The Antichrist government's on the horizon. God's led as a restraining force. Or else we would be swept over completely by the occult before now, an Antichrist government. If God had not been holding back for the church, he's not going to hold back forever. The pressure is building behind the dam. He's going to let it go one day. We've got to move where there's time. We've got to sense the hour of a visitation. We've got to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We've got to rise from the dead. He'll give us life. We've got to redeem the time for the days of evil. We were dedicated to the proposition that we've got a vision and we're moving for God. And we had. We used to have everybody come to every service and everybody was totally dedicated. But we made the mistake of winning some people. And they weren't totally there. Who won some people who weren't there. See, God hasn't given me the calling of a holy club. Oh, sometimes I have longed for a holy club. But God hasn't given me a ministry for just a holy club. My ministry is them that come in. We go out and cast your net out and bring in the fish clean and unclean. Bring them in. And they almost swamp the boat. We need to bring them in and bring them and teach them. And if you will not, you will not. He's given this ministry. But God isn't going to take those just coming in and let that hold the rest of us back if all of us rest will move in. But we have got to move in. We cannot sink back to the lowest common denominator. We cannot be influenced by the worldly, or the less spiritual, or the more carnal, or the more immature. We cannot be influenced by them and go back to that point, or we'll be in trouble. We have got to stay strong and boiling in the Spirit, not worry about them, and move up so they'll have to follow and run to follow. We need to put them on tiptoe, and they need to strive and move in for the kingdom. We're serious. We can't lollygag play around. This is no marshmallow stick roast. Brother, this is moving for the kingdom. We are in a real situation. The devil's battling furious in people's minds and heart. We got to know the power of God. We got to understand the devil. We got to be willing to confront him. We got to have power with God. We got to know our rights in God. We got to stand. We got to meet it head-on challenge every time we see it. We got to lift one another up. We got to get a hold of it. We got to move. We want people volunteering to move out. Who will move for God. But we can't move people. Those people want to get up and say, brother, move me out. Make me pastor over there. Make me this over there. We say, can't do that. Brother, you're not ready. I don't understand that. I got my so many credits and I got this and I got that. But brother, you better take stock. Take stock. Move up in God. Let him do something. Something. You know, people will notice it. You could almost take a vote of the people and they'll tell you if you're ready. When they see that holy, awesome something, when they see you kill, when it isn't anymore, well, now I want to share something neat that happened the other day. You know, I'll say, sit down. You haven't got the anointing. We want somebody who's lively affected. Let's get affected. You know what that means? You can't run around with sarcasms and jokings all day and foolishness and picking on people and fleshly things and all of this. And then come into the service and have power with God. It costs something to walk with God. You got to give yourself to that ministry. You have to give yourself. This is a challenge. It's strange that most people who start for the kingdom won't finish. Take a correspondence course. The average person who signs up for a correspondence course never finishes it. The average person that takes one of these lifetime exercise things never finishes it. That's how they can sell memberships. If everybody would come, they would crowd out 1,000. They would never be able to fill them in that place. They just work on the theory that you won't show up. That's right. And we have got to show up. We've got to be caring. We've got to care about our environment. That's why I'm saying, come into the service. For example, if you miss Friday night, you missed a real flow. That would really be a really help. Now, if you miss tonight, you miss this. So, but that hurts. Right in the bottom end. I know, but you know, that keeps you forward. I remember that used to hit me here and I used to say, I will. I was moving in the right direction then. That's what David said when the Lord chastised him. He began to move in the right direction. You lose the motivation. It's not like Sunday school because you teach this. And but you know, we got to have more than just learning in the head. Sometimes you got to get somebody to stick a pin in the back end of you so you go that way. We got to move. We are going to, God willing, raise up satellite churches over the face of the earth. That means we need pianists, workers, witnesses. We need people to back up the pastors. We need pastors. We need men of God dedicated. Men who have the holy fire burning within, that have burned out the dross, that are ready to go out and meet it and not fall out on the field. See, we don't want to have 500 satellite churches and have 250 apostatize. Because they go out too early. They try to make a big deal on themselves. They get dry out there. They have no sustaining power. Other people impact them and turn them. We can't afford to have most of them go under. We got to know that you're sticking, you're one with us. You're not just using community chapel for your thing. This is not your thing, my friend. This is God's thing. And we're in it together. You're not a lone wolf. Multitudes of cripples will come in, babes, carnal and confused. And we'll need to say, you know, I mean, this is a little bit arbitrary, I'll admit. We won't do it quite this way. But we need to say, that section, take care of rows E through F out here in the big tent. This section, you take care of them. This section, see, we need to say, right, we're ready to go. Be instant in season and out of season. We're trained, ready to go. Everybody at Community Chapel knows the Word, knows the Spirit, balanced, knowing what they're doing, and on zeal and fire for God, locked in, and we're ready. So we can say, okay, you teach them, you do this, you do that, and away we go. Can't have everybody throw themselves on the floor and throw a tantrum about that hour. We got to have people move out, take a hold of the whole thing. Or else we can't handle. We got to clean the fish as they come in, you know what I mean? Can't let them sit there and spoil. We need people with more zeal, but they have to have wisdom, love, power with God, and they must be an example. It can't be a theory they've got. They got to be living the life. Now, typically, I close my sermon sometime. Typically, our vision tends to be either too limited. Won't believe and take a hold of the vision. Or it's a carnal, external, grandiose idea of doing. The vision gets moved over here. Well, we're going to go out and be real big wheels, and we're going to do all these things, and we're going to do and be, and I'll be a chief up here someplace. And then you miss the whole thing. We must see the pure, simple heart yielded for service for God. For souls, for the word of truth. We got to see it. We got to, souls. God's word, His truth, God's work, service for Him. Can't be, I'll be apostle, you'll be prophet, and you'll be evangelist, and we'll do this, and we're going to have a big deal, and I'll be, it isn't that. It's not the machinery or the funnels or the channels or the vehicle. Or we may or may not become the biggest church. Or we may or may not be the most spiritual church. Or we may or may not come end up with the most truth. See, isn't it a foregone conclusion we're going to end up with all those things and the best? No, it's not at all. Never has been in my mind. But we are starting out ahead of most. I have to almost put my tongue in my cheek when I say that. But I know that most are in such bad shape. I hate to say that, but that's the really truth. Christianity is in sad shape. It's sick. It's sick. Mature, weak. Bowed over. But we are starting out ahead of most, and we do have a unique and a specific and an important part to play in the last day move of God. Absolutely. But many others do too. They've got their important, specific ministries, unique ministries. Most don't, however. Most don't. But there are a number that do. Now, I'm not being prideful, exclusive, unfair, or biased when I say that most churches are very much undone, very carnal, very far from being led of God, with much non-biblical doctrines and ideas. In fact, I am staggered at hearing the pastors out here. So, I mean, there are some good pastors in this country. There are some strong men, got both feet planted. They know God's spirit. They've been in the move of God. They know where they are. They got truth. And they know how to move things. There are some good men of God, some good leaders out here. But there's a lot of sheepy pastors that just don't seem to know where the corral is, where the fold is, and they're wandering around. I am amazed. Just like, for example, we had one of our hostesses, airline hostesses, witnessing on the airline, and this minister, I think he was, pastor, I believe he was someplace, if I got him correct. Anyway, this minister from this particular church, he was so impressed by this girl just with her heart and her love and the ministry and all she was doing this. And you're talking to him a little bit, that he had an elder in his church that lost his wife. So he wanted her just to pray and see if God wouldn't have her come back and marry him and join his church. Now, this is the kind of fuzzy thinking that I see so much, even among pastors. I'm staggered, just staggered at how they run their churches. I mean, they don't know straight up. And I mean that. I'm not just running down people. I am saying we get a lot of young people out there in the ministry. And a lot of them don't even belong in the ministry. No, out there trying to run things, they haven't the slightest idea how to interact. They don't know what proper decorum is. They don't know what minister decorum. They don't know what the pastoral obligations are. They just do anything that comes into the carnal head, and they're trying to run the whole thing with their own philosophy, half of it from the TV world and everything else, and they're all mixed up. And we get a job to try to help these people. But we can't help them until we get in the power, have power with God and the glory of the Lord, and these signs are falling into belief, and we got stability, and we're moving in God. Oh, we can help them a little bit, but, I mean, not to the calling and to the vision that God has for us. Now, even the very best church has got a long way to go, us included. And this has always been true. All down through history, it's been true. Now, Christendom has always been led by a few leaders. And most pastors follow. And this is not necessarily wrong. God hasn't called everybody to be a leader. And so, I'm not faulting. There's a lot of pastors, if they can't lead. And it's better, and God knows what he's doing, it's better to have a number up here and the others follow, if they will follow. But there's a lot of milling around out there. But so as in past history, any new move of God will begin with a few men of God that God will raise up to do a needed work. They won't necessarily be the most popular ones now. But God will raise up people. Now, it will start with those open to the truth and open to change. If you died in the wool and peg shut, you can't do anything. If you know it all, God can't use you. If your head's like concrete, all mixed up and permanently set, can't use you. He's going to use those that are waiting on God. That are waiting on God, because God has to be revealing. He has to use those who kill. You've got to kill. He can't use a lot of people that walk in the pulpit, preach the sermon, and leave. They've got to kill. Jack Du Bois told me about a particular minister in a particular church. I almost fell over backwards. Even what I've already heard enough, and not shouldn't never be surprised, I suppose, but this one did hit me. This pastor, he said, let me show you how I preach. I'll get my next Sunday sermon. He got a drawer, and he pulled up and said, there are my sermons right there. There's 52 of them. One for every week of the year. Now he says, I'll reach to the back and pull that one out, put in the front. There, that's my sermon now for this coming Sunday. He says, then next year I'll be back and I'll preach the same one again. He said, never remember them anyway. I could not believe it. Waiting on God for the revelation. Knowing the mind and heart of God and see what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. That's not what he's doing. There's a lot of carnality out there. We got to go out and do something a lot better. Don't be satisfied with any status quo. It's not going to start with a compromiser, or the traditionalist, or the satisfied, or the dried up. But these pastors that are in these spots, they're going to be affected unless they apostatize. They're going to be affected, and some may pass up the pioneers. They may get moving one day and zoom up and pass up the pioneers. Or some may have a greater vehicle in their movement, their churches, those stations, everything they've got, to carry the move of God in than those who are pioneering. The pioneers may come in with truth, build the bonfire under them, and they'll have the vehicle to carry the thing, greater than those who come in. And so the pioneers won't necessarily become the biggest. Others may get things and go on with it. See, we don't know what it's going to end up. We don't care. The important thing is not size or who does the work, but the church awake and become Christ-like. The lost must be saved. Christians must be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I mean really. I mean with the evidence of other tongues. Christians must live and walk in the Spirit, learning to rely upon the Lord. They must be abiding in the vine. They must be sanctified, become Christ-like, and quit living filthy of the world. Christians must know and live the truths of God. They must know the truth and then live that truth. Now, we must each, and I'm almost nearing the finishing line, we must learn to do Christ, let me use that phrase, daily. We must let him and let him do. We must let him daily. Instead of meeting with a rush that comes up, you know, we need to, Lord, you handle it. Lord, you answer it. What do I say now, Lord? Finish my mind. Lead me now. We need to let Him. We need to be open channels. You can't expect to run everything yourself and then we get in trouble with this call and say, now, Lord, be here immediately. We can't do that. We have got to move in a place where we are sensitive to His Spirit. Well, that's in an hour of need. He won't be there either because you don't know how to plug in. We must walk in the Spirit daily to fulfill the vision that God has. We have got to learn to put ourselves in a sensitive place and be in awareness before God. Awareness. No matter what you're doing. See, but I'm an automobile mechanic. I'm underneath a car. How can I do anything? You can be under there worshiping the Lord. Amen. Just thank you, Jesus. And then when that bolt breaks off and all the mechanics plug their ears around, your song in the Spirit is not interrupted. You head up over for a stud beam over still. Glory to God, praising the Lord. And then say, what manner of man is that under there? See? I mean, you've got something that's there, that's showing, see, no matter what job you're in. We must daily depend upon God by abiding in Christ. We must come into freedom and a liberty in the Spirit that will affect the way we worship, the way we yield to God, the way we love, the way we minister, the way we interact. We have to have a freedom in the Spirit that will affect our lives. We must be willing to change our lifestyles. I'm almost done. We have got to change our lifestyles. You cannot stay in the rut that you're in. Well, I go to work, and I'm in the carpool with five guys who are all smoking, and they're all listening to, I don't know, I was in a carpool one time listening to some idiot on the radio who just blabbed. He was the most senseless, empty-headed man I ever heard in my life. Everybody should know who he was, and he did talk about nothing. He majored in nothing. And he would just, well, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, how about the Redskins today? Ha, 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 blah, blah, blah. All he did was blab. He was a blabbermouth. And I used to kneel down back there and shut my eyes and just worship the Lord and close out all that junk and just worship the Lord. I just sit back there, you know. I was so far out of that car, they didn't even know I was there hardly. I wasn't going to get my mind affected with that junk. You need to change your lifestyle. At work time. Well, what time, what I usually do, you know, me and Joe, we shoot the breeze, and Joe is, he's a Mormon, and Pete, he's an atheist. We get together and shoot the breeze. Well, maybe you need to trade that for a noontime Bible prayer time. Get a few Christians around the plant and put some notice on the board and get together and pray with them and do something like this. Do something, you know, where you maybe need to change your lifestyle. Well, I come home and I come in and kick my shoes off and right in the middle of the floor so the wife has to pick them up and throw my coat like that, like they do in the TV or something, you know, they just throw it. You know, I'm amazed. I've watched enough of it to know, here are these rich people in these films. You know how they live in their homes? They walk in, take the coat and go, they go check in the hotel and take the coat off and go, tie goes, shoes go. I don't know why they even build closets. They just throw them in all directions. You know what they tend to do? Teach you to live that way. So they're trying to mess you up, make everybody think that every house is a pig. Time in that place for 5 minutes, the whole place is a complete, total disaster. See? That's the training that you get. Constant being trained things you don't know until you live that way. Begin to come home. Instead of sitting down in front of the boob tube, picking up the newspaper and spending an hour and a half or 2 hours with it. Well, it may be worth reading a little bit, scanning through it, but don't read all that stuff in there. That's why the Sunday paper is so thick, so you won't ever get to church. That'll hold you next week. Don't waste all your time just because some guy at the other end is putting the stuff out. Be selective. Take time to do what's valuable in your life. What is your life? Well, Tuesday's bowling and this, so forth and so forth. Well, you need some exercise. But once you get your arm wound up, then what? I mean, are you really coming to grips with, you know, we need to do that. I mean, we're victims, you know, of just the old, this is what we always do, itis. And we need to get healed from that and begin to use our time as we're nearing the end for the Lord. More effective to become, to be something. I'm thinking of David Wilkerson. He used to watch TV as a minister. He said, watching TV every night, a couple hours, whatever it was. And he said, all of a sudden, you know the story, and he saw this thing on television about New York City. It came into his mind, what would happen if I begin to pray instead of watch television every night? What would happen to my life? And you know the story. Teen centers exist all over this nation because some minister who wasn't too well known decided that he was going to pray every night instead of watch TV. And that's what happened out of somebody who decided something like that. What would happen if some of you decided to put down your glamour magazines and all the other Jezebel articles you got, and some of these women's magazines, enough to make any man's face blush, and the women's too. I mean, you should be stamping pornographic in the front. This may be harmful to your health, you know. What would happen if we begin taking our time for the Lord? We must be willing to lose our selfishness and our worldliness and our pride. And we must be willing to make a total sacrifice and sell out to God. Total sacrifice and sell out to God. Now, God has granted us a letting time. He who letteth will now let until out of the midst he be suddenly gone. And then, great tribulation such as the world has not seen nor ever shall see come up to try them, all them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. We've got an allotted period. So the man of sin will be revealed in his allotted time, the Greek says. Allotted time. His allotted time, that time is getting closer. We must be about our Father's business. We must prepare now. We must armor up. We must put on the whole armor of God. We cannot just be coming to church. That must not be the end of our vision. We have got to be challenged by God. But you that came tonight got this challenge. If you did not come tonight, what would you have done instead? You would have missed this challenge. Friday night, you would have missed that. I mean, each service, you're missing something. Each one by itself may not stand so much, but you put them all together and eventually, all collected, it means something. Collected is a whole big body of truth. So you can miss Sunday morning and never get hurt. But this Sunday morning, I had a woman come to me, for example, after the Sunday school message about the wives and so forth, and say, Pastor, that's going to change my life. I have a sweetheart husband. I've been fighting him tooth and nail. And I didn't realize how stubborn, selfish, and rebellious I was. You see, somebody's been changed by it. Some other people have been changed, hopefully, by it. And then the other message, maybe some people got more faith and less hurts and confusion now about Jerry passing away. But if they hadn't been there, they wouldn't have got that. You take that and you put it with everything else for all those years and look at the great body of truth versus missing it all while you trade off and do what? See, we would have got to think. It's here for a purpose. But then if we get it, we got to work with it and do something with it, not just learn like a professional student and never do anything with it. God bless you. I love you with all my heart. You're my life. You're my family. I mean, he's my life, but you're my life here. You're my reason here. I mean, he's my whole reason for living. But you're my ministry. You're my life. You're my reason. It all evolves. I mean, if you don't move, if our family doesn't grow up, all my labor's in vain. I've been working on a project that never is going to end up to be failure if you don't move. It's thrilling to work and see people move. And there's been a lot of movement. There's been a lot of movement. We want to give the opposite. We've had a lot of good things happening. But I think most of you agree with me. We could run faster. God bless you.